holding up sermon notes. We had them out earlier this week. They were lost, and so if you like to have the fuller notes, they're back in the back. You can grab one. I won't mind if you get up and grab one. Gary, just want to ask if you want to say anything about the youth group Valentine's dinner last night. I'm not giving him any notice, but you don't have to. Anything you want to say, Gary? Man. It was a great meal and a great time, and Trenton's game wasn't too scary, so it was actually fun. just bugging you, Trenton. But anyway, they have Camp Barrowkill coming up. So again, we thank you for those supporting the youth group and continue to pray for them. Also, while I'm talking before the sermon, I want to mention Tom Kuiper is back from knee surgery. He's here this morning. So, Tom, good to see you. And we're thankful for each of you that are here. So. Unfaithfulness is one of the most outstanding sins of these evil days. So wrote A.W. Pink. He died in 1952. If that was true 70 or more years ago, how much more today? We cynically almost expect politicians to be liars. And many people do not keep their word in daily life, business, or even their vows in marriage. Some criticize Christians for not being faithful. Sometimes you hear people say that Christians are all just hypocrites. A quick response when you hear that is to say, that's true. That's why we all need Jesus Christ. But anyway, don't argue with them. Anyway, some people will say, I know a guy who went to church and he cheated me, or he lied, or he used me. The reality is, all humans at some point will disappoint or let us down by being inconsistent, because we are not perfect in this life, none of us. But God is always faithful and true. He will never fail or forsake us. He is always consistent. Trust in Him alone. Lamentations is our passage this morning. We don't preach a lot from this book, but Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to actually start reading at verse 16. I have 19 through 26 in your notes, but we'll start reading at verse 16. Lamentations 3, which follows the prophet Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, 16 through 26. Jeremiah is, why is it called Lamentations? Because he's lamenting, he's mourning, he's weeping over the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. The Babylonian army had come in God's judgment and totally wiped out Jerusalem and burned the temple, destroyed God's holy temple that Solomon had built. It's gone. I picture this book, I'm not sure that it happened this quickly, but I picture this. Jeremiah is writing this book, or at least thinking of these laments as he's walking through the ruined cities. And you've seen cities on the news with like when a tornado has come through and there's just destruction everywhere. That's what he's looking at. Dead bodies still lying in the streets, if you read through the whole book. And he's weeping and mourning. Even though God had promised this judgment, it's still horrible to see. And that's the setting of this passage. Right in the center of this book is blessed hope. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Lamentations 3, 16 through 26. He's made my teeth grind on gravel, made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fall off, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. You may be seated. God is faithful. All of God's attributes are praiseworthy. This is my last in the series on God's attributes. God's attributes are, we started this whole series explaining God's attributes, or what God has revealed is true about himself, are like the facets of a perfect diamond. His attributes are not parts, or not separate parts of God, but they're all interconnected. They're all part of, like facets of a single perfect diamond of God himself. As you turn it, you see different aspects of his glory. They're not his parts. But so in our series, we've looked at things like God is sovereign. He rules. He's holy. He's loving. He's eternal. He's jealous. All-powerful. Everywhere present. All-knowing. Wise. Good. Spirit. Unchanging. Today, God is faithful. God is faithful means, from my notes way back from a Moody professor on God's attributes, here they are, God is true, and that he is consistent with himself, the source of all truth, and perfectly reliable in all his dealings with his creation, with you. Faithfulness is one of the glorious perfections of God, and related to him being unchanging, because God is unchanging, he is always faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9, Dana read for us, here it is again. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays to their face those who hate him, is the next phrase. He's faithful even in judgment. Psalm 36:5, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. 2 Timothy 2:13, the Apostle Paul is writing about God. He says, if we are faithless, he, God, remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. A.W. Pink again says, God is faithful because he never forgets, never fails, never falters, and never forfeits his word. God is faithful even to his creation. Genesis 8:22. I don't think you have this one projected, but right after the flood, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nothing has changed with human nature. The flood didn't wash our sinful ways away. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I've done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Even though our nature hasn't changed, God promises to never destroy all the earth with water again. But someday he will make all things new with the new heavens and earth. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful and true now and for eternity. Hebrews 13:8 says about Jesus, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You can trust him. Revelation 19:11, referring to Christ's second coming at the end of the age, it says this, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire and so forth. And his name is called the Word of God. It's referring to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he, in faithfulness, Christ comes to tread down The wine presses of God's wrath before he reigns. God is faithful, and we can always rely on him and his word, which leads to our next point, that God is faithful to his word, the Bible. God's word is true, and he is true to his word. Psalm 119, 138, and Psalm 119 is all about the word of God and God's promises and exalting God's word. 137 says, "Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules." 138, "You've appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness." Jesus says in his high priestly prayer just prior to the cross, praying to the Father about his disciples, John 17, 17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." God's commands are true. Psalm 119, 151, "But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true." God's promises are true. Hebrews 10, 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." What he's promised you in Jesus Christ, to forgive you, to receive you, to accept you into the blood of Jesus Christ, is true. Hold fast your confession. God cannot lie and will never break his word. Titus 1, 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began." In Hebrews 6:18, not 6:10, Hebrews 6:18, "So that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." God's oath and promise is in Jesus Christ, gives us an anchor, a solid anchor for the soul. It's impossible for God to lie. We can safely trust his word. So, because God is faithful to his word, an application is the follower of Christ desires to be faithful to God's word, right? And to obey God's word. Here's some samples from Psalm 119 of the heart of a true follower of Christ. "Oh, that my ways," verse 5, "oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame." Verse 10, "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments." Verse 36, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain." Verse 80, "May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame." And the classic 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." The believer will want to test everything by God's word. The Free Church, which we're part of, the Evangelical Free Church, in the old days, I'm told, the history of the Free Church is that in their meetings, when they were discussing certain issues, it would come up and there's controversy and different viewpoints. Somebody would stand up inevitably and say, "Where is it written? What does the Bible say?" That should always be our response when you hear people teaching different things, or especially weird things or new things. Where is it written? What does God say about, for example, use of time, careers, jobs, wealth, marriage, sex, dating? J.I. Packer, in his classic Knowing God, says, "A believer will not touch anything which he's not sure that Scripture sanctions or approves." Why does this description fit so few who profess to be Christians this day? Ouch. Do you turn to God's word first? What does God say about this? And not just your own opinions or what the world says or what the news says. God is faithful. God is faithful to his word. And finally, God is faithful to his people. God is always faithful to his people. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. I'm actually going to read verse 8 too. He talks to the church about they have all these spiritual gifts and they're not lacking anything. "As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's called us into fellowship by the proclaiming of the gospel and by his Spirit drawing us to Jesus Christ. We're called in fellowship with him, and God is faithful, and he will keep us to the end. God is faithful even in disciplining his people. In Psalm 89 is a celebration of God's covenant with David. We read these words, verse 32 and 33. Then I will punish their transgression with the rod, referring to David's descendants, and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I'm going to read a few more verses you don't have projected, but here it goes. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all I've sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever. His throne as long as the sun before me. Like the moon it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies. Despite all the folly and sin of David and some of his descendants, God will remain faithful. Jesus Christ is the ultimate offspring of David who comes as God's King, God's Messiah in the New Testament. Even when we don't understand, even in pain and suffering, God is still faithful. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Even amidst death and destruction, as I mentioned, we have the great passage, the steadfast, loyal, unfailing love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Can you say that even when you don't understand? Even when you've gone through pain or suffering, God is faithful. We should wake up every morning knowing that God will carry us. He'll sustain us through the day according to his will. If he desires us to live, our times and our lives are in his hands. God is faithful to help us in temptation and spiritual conflict. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. In other words, we're all made of the same stuff. We all face similar kinds of temptations. You may face a temptation that's different than mine, but we all face similar kind of temptations. Nothing's new. God is faithful, it says, though, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That's a promise. When we face confusing and tempting situations, we shouldn't think that we have no option but to give in and sin, but cry out to God for deliverance, for him to deliver us. And show me the way to escape, and give me the power to do so right now, Father, by your Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one, Satan. We can trust God and not despair, even when we sense our own unfaithfulness. God's faithfulness gives us courage to carry on despite our own failures. And again, all of us are unfaithful in some things at some times. But he is not. Because God is faithful, we can trust God to bring us home, all the way home to glory. It gives us confidence and hope for the future. We can trust him to hold us and sustain us. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, and I'm going to read verse 23 also. It says this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. I mean, set you apart as holy completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Because God is faithful, we can trust God and not worry. You can't worry and trust God at the same time, my wife always tells me. Right, Colleen? He will never forsake us. Because God is faithful, it should reduce our complaining also. May you look back over your life, and I hopefully you do, and say, He led me all the way. You didn't understand maybe some things that went on, but you look back and say, well, He used this to bring me closer to Him, or, you know, we look back and He led me all the way. Instead, we should have increasing confidence in God, even in our suffering, 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will. You won't hear that phrase referred to by health and wealth preachers, but anyway, I better not get into that. But therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will. Yes, God allows suffering for His own purposes. Entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Instead of blowing up and getting angry and quitting and whatever we do and getting bitter and all that, we entrust our souls like Jesus did to His Father. Into your hands I commit my spirit. To a faithful Creator while continuing to do good. Because God is faithful, we should reflect His character by being faithful people. This means being true to your word. To our word. As much as it depends on you, keep your word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Being faithful in our work. Christians of all people should be the best employees. Because we're working, as Colossians 3:23 and 24 tell us, we're working for the Lord Christ, not for just a human. And our work reflects on Him and our Savior's character. As we do our daily work at home at a job, we're contributing to God's creation, His good order, and being a witness for Jesus Christ. Some people have asked me about the conference this week, which I went to for at least part of it in Chicago. It was on creation. One guy preached just before I left, after the last lunch I was at. He preached on work, creation and work. God created us for His glory to work. And he talks about, it's not just preachers and pastors that serve God. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. We all serve God, no matter what our work is, our callings. And you serve God every day and as you work. Whether it's at home, some people get compensated for work, others don't. The housewife at home is still working. And men, please realize that. And they're contributing to the good order of society and God's creation. Work is cultivating blessing and contributing value, whether you get paid for it or not. And we serve God and worship Him through work. Work was there before the fall, Genesis 2, 5. There was no man to work the ground, so He creates Adam. And He puts him in the garden to what? Work it and keep it. That's before sin. Now, work gets a lot more difficult because of sin. Genesis 3, the ground is cursed, the weeds come, the bugs come, the pestilences, the storms come, the 18 below zero comes, and so forth. And everything's more difficult now because of the sin. Our world is cursed. But work itself is to the glory of God. Whatever your calling is, do it unto Him, and not just for a human master. Well, I better go on. But being faithful in our work and at home, to our family and to our marriage vows. For better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. May it be true for all of us by His grace. We are God's stewards of our time and our lives in His creation, and He requires faithfulness to His word for His own glory and for our own good. So have you trusted in the faithful God and His Son, Jesus Christ? That's where life begins. He will save you when you call on Him. You can trust Him to do what He says when He says, if you believe, when Jesus says, if you believe on me, you have everlasting life. As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Calling on Jesus Christ will save you by faith in his death and his resurrection for us. Secondly, as a believer, if you've received Jesus Christ, are you rejoicing daily in God's faithfulness to you? You can have faith in God because he is faithful. He's fully trustworthy. He will never forsake you or leave you alone. And the guarantee of that is the Holy Spirit himself, who he sealed us and anointed us with until the full redemption comes when Christ comes. And finally, are you known as a faithful person? As we think of God's faithfulness, may it lead us and impel us and challenge us to be faithful ourselves, even at school, doing our schoolwork and so forth, or at work, at home. Is your word your bond? As a Christian, it should be. Are you trustworthy? Do you have integrity? Doing what's right? Integrity I've defined sometimes as doing what's right even in the dark, or doing what's right even when no one else is looking. God's always looking, so I have it down here. Doing what's right even when no one but God is watching. That's integrity. It's like Daniel in the Old Testament. When his enemies wanted to destroy Daniel, they searched through, he's an old man now, he's 80 or whatever, they searched through all of his government service, 60 or more years of government service, they could find nothing wrong. Can you believe that in politics? Government, nothing wrong. No bribe under the table, no cheating, no shaving the truth. So they had to accuse him according to his religion. May that be true of us. I used to work at a gas station, yes, back in the late 70s, when I was going to community college. My brother worked there first. Auburn Car Clean, it's no longer there. But it was a car wash and a gas station. We used to pump gas in the late 70s. So people would pull up and we'd say, yes, ma'am, what can I help you with? I'd like to fill out. Okay, we pumped gas in those days, believe it or not, and washed windows and that kind of stuff. I used to work with one guy who was always wanting to close early. Especially in the summertime, he had a hot date or whatever, and say we closed at 9, let's do the 9 or 10, but closed at 9, at 8:45, he'd go back, turn off all the lights, and say, Pat, we don't get paid till past 9, I'm not going to stay here, because it always took a few more minutes to close, make sure all the inventory was done, and make sure everything was all clean, and blah, blah, and all. And we don't get paid for that extra 15 minutes, I'm leaving at 9, I don't care. And I'd go back and turn the lights back on. I was the older guy, the kind of more supposed to be responsible guy, the lead guy. And he'd get mad. He'd turn them off sometimes at 5:02 or 10:02. The lights, all of a sudden, I'd be working, all the lights would go off. So more than once, I turned them back on, and I told him, one time with a different guy a year or so ago, I was working with, and the big owner came in, Joe himself. Joe Krantz, we only saw him every 2 or 3 months. The owner would come from Bay City and just drive in randomly and want gas. Oh, yeah, sure, Pat. Oh, yeah, sure. One night, the big owner came in at 8:55, and we had the lights on. I had the lights on. He came in to get gas, and the other guy just looked at me. And I probably saved both of our jobs that night. Well, someone a lot more important than Joe is coming. And his name is Jesus Christ, who is Lord and the owner of everything. Will he find you faithful when he comes? The lights on, you serving. Will he say to you on that day, well done, good and faithful servant? Enter into the joy of your Lord. By God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, may it be true in my life and your life for His glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the faithful God. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, never comes to an end. Your mercies are new every morning. We want to say afresh today, great is your faithfulness, O Lord. We especially see it in your gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. None of us deserve salvation. We deserve hell, but you sent Jesus to rescue us. He took the wrath that we deserve, and we thank you for Jesus. And if there's anyone here without Jesus, I pray they would see their desperate need of him, and even now, by your Spirit, cry out, Lord Jesus, save me, wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Wash my sins away in his blood. Give me a new direction in life toward you. And for those of us trusting in Jesus afresh this day, I pray you would awaken within us and a desire to honor you even more passionately, day by day. To be faithful, even in little things. For you and for your glory, whether it's at work or school or at home. What we watch, what we do, what we treasure. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, and we desire to be faithful to those you placed around us in relationship. We desire to be faithful, ultimately, to you for our own good and for your glory above all, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.